Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Morning, people at home.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is my honor to introduce to you our guest speaker today, Deacon Diane Johnson from our Synod office. She's going to talk with us about Wild Church, what it is, and what it is. Okay.
Okay, good morning. It's good to be here with you today. And I appreciate you coming to hear a little bit about what we call Wild Church. So I think the best way to understand Wild Church is to participate in a mini version of it today. So I'll tell you a few things. We'll go through a morning prayer, and it's from a book called Celtic Treasure, and it's written by J. Philip Newell. He has been a leader at Iona Spiritual Community over in Scotland for many years. He is a wonderful author. I love the way that he interprets scripture and writes it and kind of brings a fresh view of it. So My Wild Church, which is co-led by myself and Pastor Darla DeFrance from Columbia City Church of Hope, we use this as our outline of how to have our Wild Church. So what we'll do is we will go through the process, and then we will have time for questions, and you can tell what it was like for you to go through it. It's a little bit different because we're inside buildings instead of being outside. So the Wild Church movement was formed and brought to the United States in a fresh way through Victoria Lourdes, is one of the leaders. She's up in Bellingham, so she's the one that I learned about this from. There are over 300 gatherings in the United States that are part of the Wild Church network. So they are all across denominations. They're all across the United States, up into Canada. It's been a movement in England for even a longer period of time, known as the Forest Church Movement. That's part of the inspiration. People started realizing they were all having the same kind of ideas and started working together. So the things that make a wild church, in their view, is that you gather in community. It's not just your solo experience of God in nature. That can also happen, but that's not what Wild Church is about. It's in the Christ tradition, and it acknowledges when you are outdoors that all the living beings around you are also part of the congregation, and encourages you to engage with those other beings in some way, shape, or form. So it's not just sitting outside, but it's actually engaging with outdoors. So we will begin at one point. I will have 5 minutes where everyone can take time. You can stand up. You can look out a window. If you want to run outside real quick, outside your home or there, we're only going to take 5 minutes. You can have a little bit of time to reflect on the scripture reading that we did, or you can just whatever catches your attention outside, pay more attention to it and wonder maybe what God is trying to tell you through that bird or that tree or the flower or whatever is out there. And to have just some quiet to let God speak to you. And then we will come back. And if you can't, like I can't sit still and be quiet very well, so I always walk. other people do better sitting still. Other people do better drawing or journaling, anything. It's open, free range, whatever works for you to be able to listen to God at that time. So as we begin, usually I would have some sort of candle or something, but I forgot that today. Do we have a candle handy? No, we'll just go without. So we gather today in the name of God, who creates life. In the name of the Savior, who loves life. In the name of the Spirit, the fire of life. Amen. We're going to take a minute to remember Yahweh, which means breath, and breathe. I invite you to breathe in and out a couple of times. We'll be quiet and just notice God's presence here among us. Let us gather back together and listen to our scripture for this morning. It's from Psalm 46.
Oops, too quick.
So our reading today is from Psalm 46.
God is our shelter and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not be afraid, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with the shaking. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the dwelling place of the eternal. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be forsaken. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. God speaks and the earth's powers melt away. The God of heaven is present on earth. The one who was in the beginning is now. Come and see the works of God. Look at how the mighty are brought down. God makes wars come to an end throughout the world. The bow is broken and the spear is shattered. The sword and the shield are burned with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am loved among the nations. I am loved throughout the earth. The God of heaven is present on earth. The one who is in the beginning is now.
So I would invite you to take 5 minutes. It's about 10 after 9, so we'll gather back together at 9:15. You can go to a window and look outside. You can look at the pictures that are on the screen. You can go outside if you want and breathe in the cool morning air. Sometimes people find it helpful to think about what they are grateful for. Sometimes it's helpful for people to just think on the scripture. Sometimes it's helpful for people to quiet their mind by thinking, what are 5 things I see outside? What are 4 things I hear? What are 3 things I can smell? What are 2 things I can touch? And if you were outside, you could do all those things. And at the right times of year, what can I taste? So those are ideas, but we'll just spend 5 minutes now for personal quiet and reflection and wondering what God is speaking to you today.
What we often do at this point is ask if anyone wants to share what they were wondering or noticing or thinking about during their time for the group to hear. So if there's anyone here or if there's anyone online that would like to share what they wondered or noticed about.
So what I noticed is when I'm looking straight out here, it looked like a pretty dead tree right there. And I'm like, ah, things look kind of dead out here. And then way down below the window, there was like one flower open. And then as I lifted my eyes up, there were more flowers. And then if I looked above the window line, there's more and more flowers. And it just kind of reminded me that what a blessing that God created four seasons to remind us that there are times of winter and there are times of new life and possibility. And these trees faithfully go through this process every year as a reminder to us to remember that God, even when the world feels very chaotic, I picked this psalm before the war started in Ukraine. It's a very appropriate one to be reading right now to remember that God is still there in the midst of all of the chaos. God is still with the people who are in that country. And to remember that God created all people. And even when we dislike what certain nations may be doing, we have to remember the people there and that God loves those people as well. So all that from a little bud on a tree that I would have never noticed if we hadn't taken time to do that. Let's take a moment to pray. In the silence of our hearts or in spoken words, let us give thanks for the gift of this day and pray for the life of the world. I invite you, if you want, to pray your prayer out loud or to take this as a moment of silence. Lord, we do lift up the people of Ukraine who are suffering greatly right now. We pray for all those who are refugees in lands that aren't familiar to them, that isn't their home. We pray for all the other refugees from other countries that are also struggling in this way, and for the countries that are making space for them to live in their place. Lord, be with the people in Russia who are also harmed through all of these actions. We pray for our companion synod church, that is the European church in Russia, where many of the people have had to flee for fear of danger there as well. We know that you are the God of all time and eternity. That as these struggles happen, you will see that it will come to an end and that new life will be there on the other side. We thank you for the buds and the blossoms and the birds and the new sprigs on trees to remind us of the circle of life that you have created. O God of heaven, you are present on earth. O God of stars and planets, you are in the midst of the city. O God of all things, you are in the depths of our being. The river of your eternal life runs through all things. Let us be glad to be bearers of your eternity. Let us be glad to find you in one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So now, may the blessing, the deep blessings of the earth be with us all. May the fathomless soundings of the seas surge in our soul. May boundless stretches of the universe echo in our depths to open us to wonder, to strengthen us for love, to humble us with gratitude, that we may find ourselves in one another, that we may lose ourselves in gladness, and that we may give ourselves to peace. Amen. Okay, that is Wild Church. Yes. Almost four years ago now, maybe it's five. Who knows anymore? In 2017, we went to Iceland and Norway, and they have a saying there, there isn't bad weather, it's just bad clothes. So I took that to heart this year. I had started this Wild Church in Renton through Lord of Life Lutheran Church, where I've been a member of since 1988. And I was like, summer's the perfect time. Although my very last time there, I was the only person that showed up that night, and it rained. And the only other person I had being I had with me was I found a little tiny frog. And so I didn't know what to do in the fall. And that's when Pastor Darla said she wanted to begin to explore Wild Church with her congregation, partly because it was being so difficult to be able to be together. And they thought if they could be outside together, that would be a great opportunity. So we decided to partner. And because it was going into Seattle winter, which, you know, is yuck, we decided to meet once a month rather than weekly, which was a good decision. And we had our coldest day was in December. So we meet at Seward Park. And part of the reason we met there is they have a number of picnic shelters. And she's very familiar with the park, and she knew this one picnic shelter in the winter tended to be empty all the time. So we didn't have to reserve it per se. We could just show up and know that there'd be a place we could get in under a downpour. And so the December gathering, it was, I had been at Mount Si in the morning preaching, and it was snowing out there. It wasn't snowing in Seattle, but it was cold and it was raining. And I was like, oh, nobody is going to show up today. So there were some hardy souls that came. And one of the reasons I really enjoy Wild Church is people who may not come to our regular congregations, you know, our buildings, our spaces, will come to this. And it was a woman who had been apart from church for a number of years, not for anything. She wasn't harmed by church. It just had been so many years. She felt it so difficult to go back into it. And she was coming. She had come a couple times in the summer, and she came that day. And there were like six or seven of us, and we kind of huddled. But then when it was walking time, we all went out. We had all brought rain gear. And we came back and shared, and we had a different experience because we pretty much had the park all to ourselves that day, which was unique because Seward Park is a popular place to go. And last week when we gathered in, or the last time we gathered, it was a pretty nice day outside, so it's a lot more comfortable to be there. And this particular woman said, you know, it was almost magical that day to be together. And it just, I could feel God's presence in a way I haven't felt in the other times when the park is busier. So I think it's worthwhile to just keep going. If it was a big snowstorm, I'd cancel just because it's too hard to drive around Seattle. But there are some that are pretty far north that do meet year-round as well. And you just need to know who are your people that are coming. And for me, it's always kind of group decisions, what we do. But that's a great question to ask. So we decided through, right now we're steady at the same place. In the summer, I changed it one time because the first place we were gathering wasn't very conducive. I have a Facebook page, and they're all on there so they can get to know it. But it makes it trickier if you move around. But I know some Wild Churches do move around. Yeah, so that's the way we manage it right now. I'm not a very good Facebook person, so I have to really struggle every time to make my event and add the pictures. And and remember to do all that, but it seems to be working. And whoever is there that time will say, we'll name like what the next Sunday. We always meet the second Sunday of the month. I'll just say how I was introduced to this. I'm the director for evangelical mission in our synod. So I work with the New Start congregations throughout our synod. And over the years, people have been trying to figure out how do we reach the people that are outside our walls. And there's been all kinds of experiments and trying to learn how we can reach out to other people. One of what I would call more successful, although I hate to talk about success with the church, because even if you're only reaching a couple of people, that's a couple of people, right? Numbers aren't the whole thing. But Echoes in Bellingham was started 8.5 years ago, almost 9 years ago. It was intentionally, they were never going to own a building or always be in the same building. And they tried a lot of different things along the way. And what happened a few years back is they had, instead of one half-time pastor leading it, they went to 4 10-hour-a-week leaders of the ministry. So you had different ideas, different energy, different connections in the community already. So they started out, they would have one worship a month was in a building that they would use somebody else's building because people still like to be inside. One Sunday a month, Victoria was one of the people on the team. So she started Wild Church outdoors. Another pastor, Emma Donahue, came from the United Methodist tradition, and she had worked a lot with the arts and different people. So she created a worship service around a different art medium every month. Maybe it's watercolors, maybe it's poetry, maybe it's you name it. She's done it. And so people would come, and what they would do is in a month, they'd have the same theme that they were talking about in these different expressions. So that was what she called creative church. People using their imagination and creativity around that. And then they had another time that was a storytelling time where they would invite somebody that one of them had met in the Bellingham area who had a really interesting story to share and ask them to come and share that story and opened it up. They advertised that broadly in the community. They'd have 60, 70 people from Bellingham show up to hear these stories. They had a woman from the Lummi Nation come and share her experiences about growing up in that tradition and what it's like for her navigating between her Native American heritage and a very white city of Bellingham. They had found, so Emma is on a bowling league. This is the other thing. When you have part-time leaders, they're doing lots of other activities and meeting lots of people outside. So on her bowling league, this one man started talking. He had been the foreman of the second Rodney King trial in Los Angeles. And she's like, wow, I bet you have a story. Would you like to share it? So he came one night and shared that story. So the stories are broad and they're of interest, and it's a way for people to know that this little church cares about everybody's story and is interested in everybody's story. They also sometimes have pub church where they meet in a local pub. They have service church once in a while where they go out and do service in the community, primarily like park restoration, that kind of work. So they're just a very unique group in coming up with ideas of how to engage people. And when I went to visit there shortly after this position started for me, it was going to be Wild Church, but it was like pouring buckets of rain that night, and it was December and it was dark. So we made it pub church, shifted. And the woman I sat next to said to me, I was never going to go to church ever again. And she connected with Sharis, the pastor, through online forums about justice and equity type things. And she kept going, this woman keeps showing up in all these different forums and I like what she's saying. And so she messaged her and Sharis came back, well, I'm the pastor of Echoes. And she was like, oh, nope, not going to talk to her anymore. But then she kept reading her things and she's like, she's different. She's somebody I can relate to. So she finally connected back up with her. And now she is a strong supporter of this ministry and glad to be back in a faith community. So something along the way really harmed her in the church. There are loads of ways that people have been harmed in church across the years. And they're all different stories. Some people just no longer fit with what they see as a typical congregation anymore. So the more that we can open up and find other spaces and places to offer these things to allow people to come back into a community faith, that's what we're excited about. And when I talk about my wild church, I say it's for people who are attending church to go and re-experience the awe of God through the world that's created around us and to be, have your faith deepened by that. And it can also lead to a great individual spiritual practice. And it's for people outside the church who are already in love with creation and the world and allows them to name the one who created it. So that's where I see it's for both communities. It doesn't have to be Sunday. In the summer, I had it on Thursday evenings at 7. And when we moved to the fall, we moved to the weekend because otherwise we'd be in the dark all the time. So we meet at 1 o'clock on Sundays. And that was, we just talked a long time trying to figure out the right day and trying to make it family friendly for people, what would be a good time and place. So that's where we landed. Yeah, that's a great idea. We currently don't have anything like that. This week I'm going to a conference in Virginia with 5 other people in our synod. And it's about taking these type of ministries and inviting lay people to be the leaders of these ministries. Where are you called? And then how do pastors walk alongside and equip and encourage people to have a wild church or a dinner church or a creative church or whatever in all different kinds of spaces and places? And that would be an excellent idea. So hopefully after the conference, oh, actually in May, May 21st, we're going to meet here. We're planning it next week while we're on this, at this conference. We're going to have a chance for people to come and see, to experience Wild Church out because the park is right there. They could experience Creative Church. They could experience Dinner Church during lunch and see what all of these expressions look and feel like, and maybe for some people to be inspired to find their own place that maybe they might start something like that as well. So we'll have things all set early the week after to be able to start advertising that event. Here at St. Andrews.
Oh, okay.
Yep, because your facility is perfect. There's indoor space for Creative Church and Dinner mm-hmm. Church and that, and there's a park right there mm-hmm. for outdoor worship. And the interesting thing about Wild Church is everyone who leads it differently. Mine is unique compared to the other ones that are in our synod. And we have one up in Marblemont. We have one in Bellingham. We have this one in Renton, Kirkland. There's another denomination that has one. I'm trying to connect up with them. What we'd like eventually is to have a network all up and down the corridor of our synod so that there would be a Wild Church available to people anywhere along the way. We don't right now, but that's another great idea. That's what we're looking for, is for people to have a wealth of ideas of how we can connect in new ways with people. I keep saying somebody needs to have a dog park church.
You know, I
when our puppy was little and I would go to the dog parks, it was so funny. People like share their whole life story with you. You're just standing there making sure your dog doesn't run away. And pretty soon they're over there and I'm like, I don't know why you're telling me all this stuff. And my brother-in-law is a pastor in Oregon and he got a dog that needs exercise, tremendous exercise every single day. So he's a regular at the dog park and he told people that he was a pastor and, over time, and he's done baptisms, funerals, weddings. You know, people have a crisis in their life and they don't have a church. He's the one they go to. I brought some books. There are a variety of topics, mostly things I've looked at around Wild Church. It could be these other expressions of church that welcome people. There's one called The Hidden Life of Trees, and that's a really interesting book to me. It's written by a forester. His dad was a forester, so he spent his whole life out in the woods. And maybe some of you have read articles. They found out that in untouched forests, the very, very, very large oldest trees play a very important role to all the other trees that are around them. And there's this connection of fungus. There's a fungus network that grows between the roots of all these trees. And the biggest tree is kind of like the brain center of this network. And so if there's a tree off over that way and it's not getting water and it's distressed, it sends some sort of signal. And then the other trees take their excess carbon and pass it through this fungal network over to that tree so that it can survive the event that's happening. And I don't know if any of you have ever dug in soil around old trees. I grew up playing in the dirt all the time as a child. Those were the days where our parents just sent us out into the woods to go play. But you'd kind of dig and it's all this kind of white stuff not too far under the ground. And that's that network. And they thought nothing about it until the last few years that they've discovered this whole way of being. And he has another book that talks about how the animals and the geography and weather are all tied together, and the plants are all tied together, and uses the example in Yellowstone when they removed wolves from Yellowstone. Wolves kept the bison herds lower and the elk herds lower. They would cull out the ones that were sickly. So those herds both grew, and then the elk were eating all the little sapling trees and everything by the rivers. And then the beavers left because they no longer had what they needed to build their dams, which then changed the flows of the rivers. And I can't remember how many species they said, but a large number of species left the park. It was just this cascade of events because everything is so connected. And when they reintroduced the wolves back in, within about 3 years, all of that started to correct itself. And some of those species naturally came back in. Same thing if you look at Mount St. Helens when it blew and the predictions of how long it would take for everything to regrow. it didn't grow at all the way people had anticipated. Volcanoes are a natural phenomenon, and there are things in place that allow life to thrive and to grow faster and to bring the right animals back at the right time to get the forest going again. And when I read those sorts of things and I have the time to spend outside and to be in wonder and awe of this world that God has created, it deepens my faith. And it's a piece of what holds us during difficult times. So I think we'll close with that. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for inviting me and letting me be here with you today.
Thank you.